For those that have been praying for me, I just want to say thank you very much. This last week, your prayers really made a huge difference in my life. That is, this is the season of warfare. We haven't talked about spiritual warfare much during Teshuvah, but trust me, it didn't go away just because we didn't talk about it. And I was able to get every sermon for the Feast of Tabernacles finished except two. And the Lord told me He's given me the next one up next week and the closing one the week after. So it's not like those were even available to me this week to even work on. So praise God, we are ahead of where we thought we'd be this time last week. So you give the Lord a big round of praise. For all those people that listen by tape and CD, I just want to thank you so much for listening. This is our last message before the Feast of Trumpets. We've taught on Teshuvah. I know we were late getting some of those out for you. But I tell you what, it is a big, big part of this ministry, the people who listen on CD and tape. Y'all, we send out a lot of materials. I don't know if y'all realize that. But our little groups, our two little churches, both of them less than 20, we send a lot of materials out all over the world. And this last month, I have a stack on my desk that deep of responses that we've gotten from people all over the world thanking us for sending these materials out, thanking us for staying the course, thanking us for standing tall in the Word of God and remaining faithful and obedient. So don't ever think that just because I don't announce that every week and talk about it, and it's not going on. Matter of fact, I've got a stack almost that deep that's come in the last week I haven't had time to open and answer yet. Amen. I've got a stack of books to get out, Freedom Under the Law of God. Anyway, we're going to get today into the Feast of Trumpets. You know, it's an often overlooked holy day, often taking a back seat to the Day of Atonement or the Feast of Tabernacles. A lot is made of the cross of Christ, and I'm not here to diminish that today, but you know, that's only a half of the story. And it's leaving out the best half. Amen. As good as that is, it's leaving out the better half, because the better half is the story of His return. Come on, somebody. I mean, it's a wonderful thing what He did for us in the past, but I think we lose sight of what He's about to do for us in the future, what's right around the corner and what we're staring at in the face. Or at least that should be the hope within us. The hope within us is not what He's done for us, but what He's about to do next. Come on, somebody. Yom Teruah, or the day to blow the shofar. What could this possibly symbolize? And we blow the shofars a lot in here, and sometimes I think maybe we take it for granted, but blowing the shofar has a meaning. As a matter of fact, the shofar itself is a symbol of God's deliverance of Isaac, son of the promise. I don't think we make enough of that sometimes. Isaac was the son of the promise, but you're a son or a daughter of the promise. You're standing on the promises today, are you not? It is all about the promise of His coming. Come on, somebody. And so the blowing of the shofar represents not only past deliverance for Isaac, not only past deliverance at the day on the last day of unleavened bread at Jericho, not only past deliverance so many times it's happened, but it's your future deliverance that you're looking at right in the face of it today. It's the future deliverance that God's going to wipe this mess out and bring sanity to the earth by establishing His government and His covenant and His law. A law that's not packed so full of goodies for every special interest group, it looks like a Christmas tree. And that's how it was described 2 days ago, this bailout bill that's being talked about right now. He said, well, one commentator says, decked out like a Christmas tree full of goodies. We don't need all that nonsense for every special interest group. We just need to fix the problem. See, Christ isn't going to play those kind of games when He's up there. He's not going to be double-dealing both sides of the street and taking money from one side and bailing them out when it goes bust. He's going to be doing true, right judgments, right law, just decisions. Sanity will reign on the earth. That's the kind of change we need. I hear Him talking about change. Oh, I shouldn't get up on this. I hear Him talking about change, but it's everything we don't want to do. It's all the wrong stuff. We don't need to turn into a communist country. We need to go back to capitalism. That'll surprise a lot of people to realize that Jesus is a capitalist. They get in a lot of trouble saying that with some folks. But you know, Jesus is a capitalist. That's why he's going to give every man and family his inheritance. So you are capitalized now to live your life free from encumbrance. He capitalizes everybody. No more taking from one and giving to another. Playing favorites. All right, let's go to Leviticus 23. You know, the Lord over and over again says, don't pervert justice. But we have a whole bunch of politicians that's their specialty. That's their whole way of life, perverting justice. I don't think they know any other way. Get up there and say one thing and do just exactly the opposite once you elect them. Jesus is not going to be that way. First off, we're not going to elect him. He's not going to be responsible to us in any way, shape, or form other than he's the good shepherd and knows what he's doing. But you know what? We're not going to have to worry about problems. We're not going to have to worry about him double dealing. We're not going to have to worry about him saying one thing and doing another, because we'll be able to trust every word comes out of his mouth that it will be true, right, just, and the thing that needs to be done. Leviticus 23, verse 23. The Lord said to Moshe, say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you're to have a day of rest, a sacred assembly, commemorated with trumpet blasts. Do no regular work, but present an offering made to the Lord by fire. This is a holy day. This is a day where we're told, point blank, do not go to work. This is a day we're told to set aside to God as holy time to Him. You know, the Moeds are your standing appointments with Almighty God. Now, you know, I don't want to belabor this point, but I do want to belabor this point. If any one of us was given an invitation to the White House, we would all go. If anybody was given an invitation to an important event, we would all go. We would put on the appropriate clothing, and we would be there, honored that we were chosen. The Creator God of the entire universe, things you can see and things you cannot, has commanded you to show up to your standing appointment with Him, which will start at sundown Monday night to sundown Tuesday night next week. Now, how many of us are going to be honored guests to show up with the appropriate attire, ready to serve God and worship Him with all we have? I mean, think about it now. This is a commanded assembly. He didn't ask you to come. He told you to come. In the words of Ted Koppel, they're not called the Ten Suggestions. Sabbath being one of them. Convenient how that gets overlooked all the time. But Ted Koppel is a practicing Jew, which means he actually observes all 10 of the commandments. Yeah, praise God, exactly. But here you have another commandment, and it's often overlooked. And you know, for Christians, there's just no excuse. Because our whole world view is supposed to be about the return of Jesus. So how do we miss the holy day that's all about the return of Jesus? Oh, we love claiming Pentecost. We love claiming Pentecost, and they keep it by accident every year because it falls on a Sunday. They don't acknowledge it, though, because I've asked many of them. And I saw a bunch of them on TV counting it from Easter. You can't count Pentecost from Easter. You got to count it from Passover. Oy vey. They always want my holy day offering. You know what my answer is? No holy day, no offering. If you want my holy day offering, that's a real easy way to get it. You got to give me a holy day. I mean, you know, if they're going to run holy day programming on INSP instead of beating me up for my offering, then I would be happy to pony one up. Wouldn't you? If they're going to run trumpets programming on trumpets, and they're going to tell the world it's the Feast of Trumpets, and they're going to have trumpets programming, and they're going to have people on, not bashing me for an offering, but telling me about the return of Jesus, I would pony up. They wouldn't have to ask me for an offering. Come on. You know, we got people teaching holy days right now, and I'm not going to name names. But you know the lady. Who loves to teach on the offerings from the holy days. but doesn't want to teach you about the holy days and doesn't live them. Well, look, we don't want tunas with good taste. We want tunas that taste good. Come on, some of y'all. All y'all old enough to remember that. Some of y'all, come on, we remember our buddy Charlie. But I mean, look, it's not about talking about it. It's about walking about it.
That's right.
Now, look, I love Brother Stone, but eventually he will have to step up. Come on now. I mean, you know, it doesn't have to follow anybody else for this. So what does this day mean? The blowing of trumpets. There's not much here. But, you know, this is so important of a holy day. Because this day has to do with your rescue from the jaws of the tribulation. It has to do with the great and terrible day of the Lord to punish the evildoers. You know, I got accosted not too long ago because I believe from the Bible that every person gets a good, solid, clear chance at salvation. Come on, I don't believe in burning in hell forever because you never heard the name of Jesus. But that doesn't mean that I believe that people who blow God off to His very face walk away scot-free. The details are in the Bible. The day of the Lord is the punishment for a world who is refusing to hear God and get right with Him. The day of the Lord is the punishment for the martyrs that are about to take place in the Great Tribulation. The day of the Lord is the punishment of the beast who is going to break the nations of Israel and destroy them and haul them off captivity and kill all the remaining Christians. There's some bad stuff in the Bible. People don't like preaching that. Maybe that doesn't help their offerings any, but since I'm not worried about your offering today, we'll preach it anyway, praise God. It's also about the return of the Lord Jesus to rule this earth. Man, what do we want more than anything than to see His feet hit the Mount of Olives and that mountain split in two and know that our God will rule on planet earth? Come on now. There's nothing more important than that. Come on. This is the day to celebrate. This is the day to celebrate. We've been teaching on Teshuva, and so I hope that we've all come clean. I hope that we've all been working on those sin lists. I hope that we've all turned our attention to Yeshua and looked into our life. And you know what? One of the first most important things you got to look at is, am I keeping the weekly Sabbath? Am I keeping the holy days? Am I tithing? Am I following the dietary laws? Look, there's no mistake why I point to this. I don't think I have to preach on lying. I think all of y'all from a church background get that telling lies is wrong. I think all of y'all understand that stealing is wrong. I haven't heard anybody argue with me. Well, you know, I think I can take stuff from work every now and then. I haven't heard anybody say that. I've heard nobody tell me that it's okay to go over and take your neighbor's property when they feel like it. I've heard nobody in here tell me that they think it's okay to have an extramarital affair. Matter of fact, I've heard almost everybody in here talk about how watching the world in gross immorality makes you sick. I don't think I have to teach on most of the things that are taught because all of y'all came in here already on board for that. Look, none of y'all got saved in hungry hearts. Every one of you came here saved by the Holy Spirit, having Jesus dwelling in you and already realizing a large body of what you have to do as Christians. What you came in here needing to know was how to be a God-fearer and kick it up that next notch, which is Sabbath, holy days, tithing, and the dietary laws. Every one of y'all came with that. This day right here is so important because we went through Passover, and I taught you how Jesus was your Passover lamb, crucified and sacrificed for you. We've gone through unleavened bread about how you've got to put sin out of your life, but it's not enough to put the sin out. You've got to take Jesus in. Come on. And every one of us has been over Pentecost where we talked about the law given on the same day the Holy Ghost fire came and how those two got to be put together. It's not either or. Either or leaves you half empty. It takes both to fill a thing up and make it go. We've been through there. Now it's time to get into the return of Jesus. And the return of Jesus is twofold. We're not going to go there, but if you go to John 20, you'll find out that when Mary met Him outside the tomb, He said, "Ho, don't touch me. Don't touch me." Why? That afternoon He shows up, He walks to the door and says, "Hey, I'm not a ghost, put your hand in my hole." Now look, if we're in here this afternoon, fellowshipping and talking over the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Lord walked through that wall right there, come on, walked through that masonry wall right there and said, "Oh, look, I'm not a ghost, touch me." Every one of us would be tripping, and some folks would be headed for that door right there, huh? There'd be a jam up. Now I might not be ready for the door, I'd be looking like, "Woo! What is going on?" But there'd be a pileup right there, man. Think about it. So the Lord tells them, touch me. He just walked through a wall. Man, these people lived in mud brick homes with thick masonry walls. He walked through the wall and said, oh, touch me. I'm not a ghost. That's our Lord. But my point to you is that he could not be touched in the morning because he was perfectly sanctified, pure and holy from the resurrection to take his blood to the heavenlies and cleanse them and to put his blood on the atonement cover of the Ark of the Covenant for you. Without belaboring the point, in Acts chapter 1, I believe it's verse 9, the angel said, exactly the way he goes up is the way he's coming back. He went up secretly first and then publicly second in front of 500 people. He's going to come back secretly first to pull his bride and then he's going to come back publicly later to rule this earth. That's how come you can hear Jesus say, no man will know and every man will see. He's not talking about the same event. He's talking about different events. You know, if you look at the prophecies of the Messiah, some of them say he's going to be beaten and killed and badly bruised for the transgression of the nation. And other times they say he's going to rule the earth with a rod of iron. Okay, this confuses people. Matter of fact, it confuses them so bad that Jewish thought now says there will be two Messiahs. Messiah Ben Yosef, son of Joseph, the suffering Messiah, and Messiah Ben David, the son of David, the conquering Messiah. What they couldn't understand is it's the same Messiah doing two different things at two different times. Again, so that they would not see and believe, that they would not hear and understand, that they would not turn and repent. And he did that for who? He did it for you. Because if they had seen and repented right there on the spot, done deal. Done deal. Only Jew to get saved on planet Earth. But God wants to save all mankind. So as hard as it hurt his heart, he covered their eyes from receiving him so that all of us could be saved. Man, there is no other reason that you have to honor the Jewish people the way we tell you to honor them than that right there. Their eyes have been covered. They have not had a chance to see what your eyes have seen. It has not been allowed for them to know what your mind knows. We must honor them because he covered them for your sake. That's why you honor the Jewish people. He's going to save them in due time. But it was necessary to take it to us first. I don't always use the word Gentile there because there are Israelite nations of this earth who are just as lost as the Gentiles, and they would have been excluded from the commonwealth of Israel if Judah had accepted Jesus. Come on, somebody. We're talking about his return to rule. We're talking about his return to bring the kingdom of God to earth. Heaven is not the end game. Heaven is not the end game. God is bringing the kingdom of God to earth. And he is going to rule by the Torah. That's what it tells you in Isaiah. As waters cover the earth, the law of God, in Hebrew that's Torah, will cover the earth. Everything will be done by the Torah. The law will go out from Zion. And he will rule between nations and judge them and dash them into pieces as a potter dashes, you know, with an iron rod. That's the Torah. The Torah is going to go out from Jerusalem. Every country will be obligated to live by the Torah. If you want to be a leader in that kingdom, you can't be exempt from the Torah now. You see, the whole purpose of Christianity is to train ourselves to be leaders in the government of God. And if we refuse to learn the law of that government, then we're not going to be players in it. Come on. Come on, you can't be a cop until you learn the laws. You can't be a judge until you learn the laws. You can't be an officer of the court until you learn the laws. If you become a politician, the first thing you got to do is learn the laws. It'd be nice if they would. Now, you think about this while I'm on my soapbox. No. You'll never know where that is, sister. You'll never know. The Federal Register of the United States is now over 100,000 pages again, and God only gives you 5 chapters. Think about that. The tax code is almost 100,000 pages. It's so convoluted the IRS doesn't even understand it. And I do taxes. God only gives us 5 little chapters. It's a lot smaller than any IRS book I've got in my library that I have to study every year to do your taxes. It's 5. I mean, look, I know they call them books, but they're just little bitty things. I mean, these chapters, I mean, come on, these are small books. You can read the Torah in an afternoon. Okay? You can read the Torah in an afternoon. God is not complicated. God is simple. God is easy. We're the ones that make it convoluted. We're the ones that have theology that the theologians can't figure out. God made it simple. Remember the old days, Honda, we make it simple. God made it simple. He made it simple. It's not complicated. It's not hard to figure out. It's easy. Matter of fact, it's so easy it makes people mad. You want to know what makes people mad? Because it says, thou shalt not be a homosexual. Oh, that makes a lot of people mad. Yeah, say that on national TV and see what kind of hate mail you get. Come on. I mean, it's so, so simple to follow the laws of God. And you know what? They're good for us because they make us happy. A lot of folks don't realize that. Your happiness and your joy comes from living by God's laws and commandments. Because when you're walking in His laws and commandments, there's just a joy that comes up in you. Why? Because it's easy. It's not a burden. It's easy. What did Jesus say? He knew they'd call it a burden. He said, take my burden on you. Because my yoke is light and my burden is easy. He knew they'd talk junk in the end days. That's in there for us. Numbers chapter 29. Verse 1. On the first day of the seventh month, which will actually be at sundown on Monday, the 29th of September, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. It is a day for you to sound the trumpet. This is not metal instruments. This word here is shofar. This is a day to blow the shofar. This is a day to have a frenzy of shofar blowing. Why? Because Jesus' return is going to be heralded in with shofar blowing. Jesus' return is going to be heralded by shofar blowing. Not only when He comes to get us, because as Paul said, there will be the trumpet call of God. Jesus said, the shofar will sound and I will send the angels to gather you. But when He comes in Revelation, the entire angelic host is blowing shofars to signal His return to come and put an end to men. The day of the Lord is sounded by the 7 angels holding 7 trumpets. Those 7 trumpets are the day of the Lord being poured out on planet Earth, which we'll get into in Revelation 11. So this is the day of trumpet blowing. The Feast of Trumpets has to do with 3 things. We talked about those. The catching away of the saints, the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and the return of Jesus to rule. All these events are connected to the blowing of the shofar. 1 Thessalonians 4. In verse 13. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And look, there's an and in there. There's an and in there. And we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. If you believe Jesus died and rose again, then you have to believe He's coming back. If you believe He died and rose again, you have to believe He's coming back. Man, there are churches that teach Jesus isn't coming back. There are churches that teach that what you're looking at now is the kingdom of God on earth. Oh, heaven, help us. If you believe He died and rose again, then you must believe He's coming back. And if He's coming back, that changes a lot of things. According to the Lord's own word, this is not something Paul made up. Remember, Paul spent 3 years in Arabia on Mount Sinai being taught by Yeshua himself. This is his first letter after that revelation. He was given the revelation of the rescue of the saints on the mountain of God. By the way, a very mountain that shows God coming down and Moses going up, a picture of the coming rescue of the saints. And so, Paul got the revelation right on sight. Right on sight. And here he is telling you, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive and who are left to the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet call of God. He's going to blow the shofar himself. As a matter of fact, Jewish legend says that God himself blew the shofar on the day of Pentecost when he gave the law. And that was the left ram's horn from the ram that was sacrificed for Isaac. And that God himself will blow the right horn from that lamb when he comes to rescue the saints. Hey, now, come on now. That's some shouting ground right there. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another. The hope of His return to rescue us from tribulation is supposed to be spoken among ourselves to encourage us to endure. The Lord is coming. He's going to rescue us out of this mess. He's going to save us from the tribulation. This is what encourages us to stand tall for the Sabbath and the holy days when our jobs are being threatened. Because we know we're going to be taken. Come on, somebody. There's a catching away of the saints of the Most High God that will be announced with the Tekiah HaGadolah of the shofar. It's not the last trump. It's not the great trump. These are English and Greek words trying to explain a Jewish thing to you. When we blow the shofars up here, the first blast is called the Tekiah. The second blast, the Berupre, is called the Shevarim. It's the brokenness of repentance. The third blast is called the Teruah, the alarm. And the last one is called the Tekiah HaGadolah, or the great blast, the last trump, the great trump, because you're to blow it with all of your might for as long as you have breath. You see, it's a Jewish thing Paul's discussing here. But we've westernized our Bible so we don't understand. That's why so many people take you to Revelation and say the seventh trump is the last trump. Because they don't understand the blowing of the shofar on the holy days. Come on, somebody. They don't understand. You've got 3 days these trumpets are blown all day long. One is Pentecost, one is trumpets, and one is atonement. I could make a case for you for the rescue on Pentecost. I could make a case for you for the rescue on atonement. The best case is on trumpets, and that's what I believe. But there is a case to be made for other holy days. That's why I always tell you, when you're coming into holy day season, you make sure you're right. Why? You don't know what holy day the Lord is coming. I can make a case for several of them. I think the best case lies with the Day of Trumpets. So as you come into the Day of Trumpets, you've got to realize it's 3 days from here to Trumpets. You didn't get that. It's 3 days from here to Trumpets. You're in the dark of the moon. You don't know when that first crescent's going to show up in the sky. You don't know the day or the hour. You know the season, but you don't know the day or the hour that first crescent's going to appear in the sky. It's a sunset and a twilight, and you don't know if the Lord's coming back this year or not. Now, I'll tell you a little secret. The Lord told me we're having feast next year. Is it a fake out? Is it a fake out? Is he just telling me that to keep me off guard? You can't put these things past the Lord. Because I'll be keeping the feast next year, either or. You understand what I'm saying? Because trust me, this will be going on in heaven whether you like it or not. The pagan days won't be celebrated in heaven while we're waiting on the return. I can assure you that. But look at here, y'all. Are you ready? Are you ready? Jesus said, two will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding grain, one will be taken, one will be left. If he shows up between now and Monday afternoon, will you be taken or will you be left? So you got to stop and examine your own life. Will you be taken or will you be left? Are you ready? That's what Teshuvah was all about. Because you see, you don't know. You don't know. The ancients weren't so stingy. They didn't keep trumpets on one 24-hour period because they weren't going to give up any income. They shut down for the whole season. As a matter of fact, every one of the new moons was kept for 3 days. Why? Because they didn't know when they're going to see the crescent. It was a good excuse to come together and have a good time. Come on, somebody. They didn't go out to eat all the time like we do anytime we feel like it. They did this stuff on new moons and holy days. Come on. They had a good time then. So they were looking for a reason. We're just kind of spoiled. Now look down here in chapter 5 at verse 9. I want to show you something. For God did not appoint you to suffer wrath. What wrath? I'll tell you what wrath. The wrath of Satan, the devil. You see, when you got saved in Romans chapter 10, it says you were saved from the wrath of God. We're all saved in here, right? I mean, everybody is saved, right? I mean, I was told everybody was saved. I only know of one or two people that's not Holy Ghost baptized. So everybody's saved. When you got saved from the wrath of God, which is we're going to get into in a minute. It's the wrath of Satan against the church that's left you need saving from today. He did not appoint you to suffer wrath. Which means if you suffer wrath, it's because you put yourself in that place. He did not appoint you for that. If you're there, you put yourself there. Because he didn't want you to be there. He tried to get you out of there. And some of us are just hard-headed. Come on, we're in the South. Come on, I can sing Dixie as good as anybody in here. We're all from the South. But look at the rest of the verse. But to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that word salvation is translated rescue more than one time in your Bible. He appointed you for rescue. Will you receive it? Will you live up to it? This is the time of year to really think about this. This is the point of teshuva. It's not just an exercise we go through to beat ourselves before we go into atonement. This is a whole thing of looking at your life, not me looking at your life, you looking at your life and I'm looking at mine. Come on. Come on. So that you can make the evaluation from the Word of God, am I up to the rescue or am I falling short? Another good case for trumpets to be the day of the rescue because it's the only time you go through this. You go through Teshuvah to make sure you are ready for the day of trumpets because trumpets is known by the Jewish people as the day of judgment. As a matter of fact, if you go upstairs in the sanctuary, they've got a stained glass window up there for the day of trumpets and it's got shofars on it and a scale. Because you're to weigh yourself into balance and find out where you're wanting. Amen? Because God makes a judgment on the day of trumpets. He's going to judge your life. He's going to judge your year. He's going to judge your job. He's going to judge your family. He's going to judge your heart. God is going to judge you on Tuesday. Are you ready to be judged? You know, I used to love taking tests. People thought I was crazy. Coming on test day. Oh, I'm ready. Give me that test. I said, boy, you're crazy. What's wrong with you, man? It's a test. I said, I'm ready. I'm ready. I want the test. This is my chance to make a 100, baby. It's my chance to put a grade in the book. I'm going to put some numbers up today, man. I'm going to score. Is that the way you're looking at judgment day? Are you going to come into trumpets going, man, I'm going to put some numbers up on the board for my Lord. Bam, I did it. Or are you still short? You see, anytime there's a judgment, anytime there's a test, it's a chance for you to show yourself. You know, the last time my job got challenged over the Sabbath, I never forget walking to work at some little part-time thing I picked up, and I'm thinking, I was just laughing. You know, I can't believe the devil's testing me on this again. Man, I am so far away from giving in on this, I can't believe he wasted his time and effort to come and hit me on this again. Lord, I'm ready for the trial, baby, because I'm going to go through it with joy. And I walked to work singing. I wasn't spirit-filled then either. I went to work with joy at my little chumpy part-time job because I knew it was a test from the Lord, and I knew I was going to make a 100 on it. Come on now. Come on. If you're going to make a grade, you've got to have opportunities to put them on the board. Put them in the book. Come on, think about it. So when you get tested on your job, or as another brother was talking about earlier today, a test that came to him this week, never a question, he said. It should never be a question. It should never be a question you're going to get weak. It should never be a question you're going to give in. It should be an opportunity to slam that perfect score in God's grade book. Come on, somebody. Come on. You can't have grades if you don't earn them. They only come when you're given assignments. Come on. This afternoon, after fellowship and stuff, we're going to be sitting down and we're going to be going through assignments for the Feast of Tabernacles. See, folks don't look at their assignments in church as a way to show God how much they love Him. They don't look at their assignments in church as a way to show God, I love you. I'm going to execute properly because I might get a better one next time. Come on. Come on. Every time you get an assignment, man, it's a chance to show God that you're faithful, obedient, willing. What did he say? Those that come with him in chapter 19 of Revelation, called, chosen, faithful. Well, you don't get a chance to prove faithful if you don't ever go in anything. I think I'd rather be tried now than in tribulation anyway. Now, when we get to trumpets in Revelation, we'll be seeing the wrath of God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. I want to show you something and how we got this out of line in years past. Not Hungry Hearts, but the denominations I came out of. So it's trumpets. They didn't understand the trumpets. And a lot of people don't think about what they know about these trumpets. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of the eye, at the tekiah hagodalah. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. We kept putting this off until the return of Jesus because we didn't understand the term tekiah hagodalah. We were looking for the seventh trump of the angel. There's stuff that happens after the seventh trump, by the way, in the return of Jesus. So how we got around that, I don't know. Evidently, we didn't look at it too clear. This has to happen at the Lord's first coming to rescue the bride. It can't happen at the end of the seventh trump. There's stuff that happens after the end of the seventh trump. The Lord doesn't come back right away. This has to happen when He comes to rescue the saints. This has to. It can't fit any other way. But this is a major theme of this day, that you are going to be rescued from the tribulation and given a new spirit body, changed. The dead in Christ are going to be resurrected to go to the wedding supper in new spirit bodies. Man, that's some shouting ground right there. I don't know about you, but I haven't been too good to mine. And it reminds me of that on a regular basis. Come on. I mean, I'm ready. Now, some of y'all got a little more miles on you than I do. I know you're ready because I'm ready. Okay? I mean, I've been through two heart attacks. I am ready for a new body. Come on. Look, my wife doesn't like to sleep. I'd like to be up with her some of those times, but my old body ain't going the distance. I'd like a new body that doesn't require sleep. Amen? That never gets tired, never wears out, goes 24/7, and doesn't hurt from it. Huh? Come on now. And hey, doesn't have heart arrhythmia from it for the next 3 weeks. Come on, that would be sweet. Huh? I'm ready for my new body. I want my new body. I want to get excited. Of course, the only thing is, I just wish the Lord would fix the teeth. I would like the teeth to be straight, if that's okay, in my new body. I would like to have straight teeth for a change. Yeah, I won't need them. Hey, but we get to eat, brother, all we want. Don't get full. And don't get, you know, we can eat all we want. I mean, we're going to go to a wedding banquet with food, man. You can eat for flavor and never worry about it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Matthew 24 and verse 31. Jesus talks about His return to rescue the saints. Actually, the whole chapter is about His return. But right here, He's going to say, and He will send His angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather His elect from the four winds from one end of the heavens to the other. Jesus is going to blow this shofar blast Himself while He sends the angels to pull you out. The word gathering is used so many places. We're going to talk about this during the Feast of Tabernacles when we do the two-part message, The Rescue of the Saints. I've spent a lot of time working on that. I've got over 6 pages of notes. I don't know if I can get them done. We've done a whole book on this. There's so much in here, it's not funny. And so we recommend everybody to get the book and to read it. Come away with me because it's a powerful examination. Look, it's not exhaustive. We'd still be working on the book if it was exhausted. There's so much about Jesus coming to rescue His saints, it's not funny. So people who don't believe in the rescue are not believing the red letter words of Jesus. Because He says a lot about it. If you really go through and look, He says a lot about it, not a little bit. He did not appoint you to wrath. He appointed you for rescue. Now, Isaiah 26. because he says a lot in Isaiah about the coming rescue of the saints. Actually, the preceding couple chapters are talking about judgment on the world for their sins and the prayer of the righteous to be spared and God's proclamation that he will hide them. But in Isaiah 26, I want to look at verse 20. Go, my people, enter your rooms and shut the doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until his wrath has passed by. Look at that. He's telling you, the word chambers here is the same word used of a bridal chamber. The groom comes to take the bride to the chuppah, the bridal chamber, and that's the same word. He's coming, he's telling you, hide in the bridal chamber until my wrath has passed by. Okay, now look at the next one. See, the Lord is coming out of his dwelling to punish the people of the earth for their sins. The earth will disclose the blood shed upon her, and she will conceal her slain no longer. That's talking about the martyrs. The martyrs are not going to be concealed in the dust of the ground anymore. They're going to be resurrected. They precede us.
Praise the Lord.
Huh? And in another place in this chapter, it talks about those who sleep in the dust. Oh, here you go. Verse 19. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. That's the dead in Christ. That's the dead in Christ, man. This is a powerful message on the Day of Trumpets of the return of Jesus to rescue us. How do you miss this? And not only that, knowing what this day means, how do you blow off the holy day that's celebrating his return to pull you out of here before the great tribulation when you're staring it in the face? Think about that for a minute. We're staring the great... Look, how many of y'all saw the news yesterday? Bet you didn't see this. The German finance minister was talking junk about how the United States is going to be a third-rate power because of this. Oh, let me fill in some details for you. The Antichrist will come out of the European Union. The European Union is behind everything you've seen in the news this last week, and they're trying to make sure that the U.S. goes down for the count so they can be the superpower and not us. This is being orchestrated from overseas, gang. Perry Stone was close, but not quite there. He was talking about U.S. bankers doing this. This is being done by foreign bankers against the U.S. There's never going to be an Amero. I got it on tape for everybody so you can all hear it. There's never going to be an Amero. There will never be a political union between Canada, Mexico, and the United States. You know why? Because Canada and Mexico are going to fold into the European Union. It's going to be the Euro is your next currency, not the Amero. Because it has been their policy to drop the United States in one day on a financial crisis for the last 50 years, and they couldn't get her done. Praise God, he's upholding the United States of America. Praise God. But you know what? One day you're going to wake up and it's not going to be that way. One day you're going to wake up and God is going to have let us have what we deserve. We're sinning in his face with wild abandon, and one day, he's going to look at us and say, sorry, had to do it. So these days are for us. These days are for us to celebrate the coming of our God and His justice for us. We're the oppressed, we're the downtrodden, we're the ones who are trying to live His laws and commandments in the face of a world going the opposite direction. We're taking the heat for it all the time, and we're the ones He's looking out for. So, are you on the right side of this equation or not? Because if you're on the wrong side, it's not. It's going to get ugly quick. It's going to get ugly quick. Now, let's go to Joel. Because God has a lot to say about the coming great and dreadful day of the Lord. Joel chapter 2. Peter quotes part of this in his great sermon on Pentecost. But he left out a part because it did not apply. You see, it's hard for people to comprehend that God puts all this in one saying, but you got to divide it up line upon line, precept upon precept. You don't take stuff out of context and say, well, you know, I wanted to say this. You got to go to all the other lines in the Bible that are talking about the same subject. Then you get a clear picture. Okay, God talks about a day of the Lord when he comes back to rescue the saints. He also talks about a day of the Lord when he's going to punish the wicked people who live on earth. That day is coming. Believe me, they'd rather be dead They'd rather be dead. As a matter of fact, in the Revelation it says they'll want to be dead, but he's not going to let them have it. That's some bad stuff right there now. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy hill. See, we play that all the time in our music. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Da, 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 da. It's not talking about something fun and upbeat. When it talks about blow the trumpet on Zion, look at what it is really saying here. Let all who live in the land tremble. That's not quite what we're singing in that song. Now look, I love that song. We're going to keep doing it. Right? We're going to be happy when we do it. Because there's a blow of the trumpet in Zion that we're pulled out of here. But look at what's left for the world. For the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness. Like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was of old, nor will ever will be in the ages to come. Not cool stuff. Blow the trumpet in Zion. The day of the Lord is coming, and you ain't gonna like it. Huh? I mean, it's gonna be bad. Drop down to verse 28. I need to stay in chapter 2. And afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. That part's happening right now. The latter rains are beginning. That should be your first clue that your rescue is imminent, because the latter rains are beginning. Look, I'm an old hard-hearted worldwide, and I'm up here preaching Holy Ghost baptism. That ought to wake a lot of folks up right there. Man, when you got us preaching it, you got to know the latter rains are coming out. You know what I'm saying? But now, the rest of the verses are close at hand from happening. And they're not so good. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood, fire, and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness. Mistranslation. The sun will be wearing sackcloth. That's a specific technical type of solar eclipse. And it's been happening in the Holy Land on holy days since 96. Oops. The moon will, and to moon will be turned to blood. A bloody moon, is how it's said in there, is a specific type, a technical term for a certain type of lunar eclipse that's been happening in the Holy Land on holy days since 96. I'm talking Passovers, trumpets, I'm talking a Feast of Tabernacles, Days of Atonement. These days have been experiencing sackcloth suns and bloody moons since 96. Man, we are staring the time of the end right in the face of it. Come on. You got geopolitical things happening where they want to drop the United States and bring us down to our knees as a third-rate power. You've got signs in the heavens happening in the Holy Land on holy days. Not any other time of the year. They're happening on holy days. Why would God show signs and wonders in the heaven on holy days if it wasn't important for us to pay attention to? Come on. We're entirely too scientific eyes here to only look, oh, well, you know, this is a project of the revolution of planets around the sun and it's going to happen. Hey, look, when God does a sign and a wonder, we need to be paying attention. He's the maker of science. And if he designed this so that these are occurring on holy days at this time when he said, I'm going to show signs and wonders in the heavens, then we ought to be paying attention. God knows it's science. He knows what revolutions of the planets and the sun and the stars and the moon these things are going to happen on. He's known it from the beginning. No one had to explain to God why this happens. Imagine that. Have to explain to God why it happens. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. These are happening now. These are happening now before the coming great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Are you a survivor? Because I tell you what, after we're rescued out of here, there's going to be some people left and they're not going to survive. Because it says that the beast is going to be given the power to kill everybody who refuses the mark of the beast. So if they remain loyal to God, they're going to be killed. That's some hard times right there. Look, man, you think about your life. If we're not able to get off work on the Sabbath and holy days, and we're not willing to go through a little economic deprivation to keep the holy days, to keep the Sabbath and do the thing, how are you going to stand up at a time when they say, I'm putting the mark on your hand or we're killing you now? Think about it. If we can't stand up in the good times to live right for God, how are we going to do it in the bad times? See, the devil thinks that way too. He's thinking, oh, I got you where I want you. You can't stand up in the good times, and that's going to make you miss the rescue, and I'm waiting for you. And I know if I can beat you out of it, then I can beat you out of it later. Think about it. That's the way he thinks. That's the way he's working. I'm trying to help everybody to get right so that they don't have to get beat at all. We'll all be in the rescue, loving life. Zephaniah chapter 1. Verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. By the way, in Revelation chapter 1, when it says, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, total mistranslation. He was in the Spirit on the day of the Lord to see what God is going to do in the last days. It wasn't the day of the Lord like they make it out. It was in the Spirit on the great and dreadful day of the Lord that we're reading about. God was showing him what he's going to do to punish the earth. Come on, that's what's in the book, right? Zephaniah 1, verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near, near and coming quickly. Listen, the cry of the Lord... The cry on the day of the Lord will be bitter. The shouting of the warrior there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish. Is that someplace you want to be? I kind of like shouts of joy myself. This is not shouts of joy. This is shouts of distress and anguish. This is trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, a day of trumpet and the battle cry against the fortified cities and against the corner towers. I will bring distress on the people. I don't know about you. I don't like distress. I really don't like distress. And they will walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. Look, man, we're closing up the days of Teshuvah. We're fixing that. We need to be right with God on trumpets. Don't be sinning in the face of the Lord because he's bringing this day to punish the sinner. So don't be one of them. Best defense, no be there. Huh? Think about it. Their blood will be poured out like dust. I don't want my blood poured out like dust. I like my blood in my body, thank you, where it belongs. Look, my uncle sent me some pictures from Thailand. My cousin just married a lady from Thailand, and her dad is in the Thailand Intelligence Service. And they sent pictures of the Thai army fighting Muslim extremists in the south part of Thailand. They were gruesome. They were gruesome. These Muslims are doing awful things to people. One person was hacked beyond recognition. You could only tell they were human because they had clothes on the parts of their body that weren't hacked to mush. It was really bad. Almost made me sick. Another one shows, it's a shoulder shot of a person who's had their head hacked off. It's really bad. That's when I had to quit looking at pictures. Okay? I mean, really bad. The day of the Lord, people are going to be pouring their blood out like dust. I like my blood in here, thank you. What's the next one? Their entrails, like the mire of the streets. I like my guts in my body, y'all. Now look, I may not have the prettiest abdomen on earth, but I like it intact. Amen? I like it intact, everything inside where it belongs. I don't want mine spilled in the street like that. You know what it says? Their entrails like filth. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of God's wrath. I don't want to face God's wrath. I don't want to be a reprobate son that has to get the whooping of a lifetime. I don't want that. I want to be the son in which he says, when I come through the line, Billy, my boy Billy made it. Hey, y'all, Billy made it. I want the big public display of affection when I go through the line. Come on, y'all. Be ambitious for something worthwhile to have. I don't want to be a reprobate son that has to get the whooping. I don't want to be one of those that shows up and had to wash their blood robes in the blood of the Lamb in the great tribulation. I don't want you to have to be there either. So live right today. Live right now while you've got a chance to say, I'm going to straighten up and do for the Lord the way the Lord told me He wanted me to do. Come on, y'all. I'm going to walk this way of life. You know, Christianity was a dirty word. Oh, Christians. We were called the Way, and we were known as a sect of Judaism. You couldn't tell us apart in the street. That's why later on in subsequent persecutions of Jewish people, the Christians said, we want to be different from them. We're tired of taking the heat. But we messed up because God never intended for us to quit living this way of life. This is the way of life He's handed down. You know, the Jewish people have an awesome reward coming from God because they persevered even under our persecution. Even under our persecution. Christians have a lot of owing up to do for the way we've treated God's kin folks. Now come on, y'all, this is the South. If somebody treated your kin folks this way, you wouldn't be so forgiven. Think about it. If somebody had done this kind of stuff to your kin folks, we'd still be having a blood feud, and you know it. But God has been forgiving. When are we going to owe up and straighten out? Come on. This is real word. In the fire of His jealousy, the whole world will be consumed. Look, we all know Hebrews. Our God is a consuming fire, and I love being in the fire of God, but that's the fire of His Holy Spirit. I don't want to be in the fire of His jealousy. That is not going to be cool. It is not going to work out for folks. The whole world will be consumed, for He will make a sudden end of all who live on the earth. These are not smooth things. These are not the things that make people feel good to come to church about. These aren't the things that make folks want to put bucks in the offering. But see, since I'm having to earn my own living, it doesn't really matter. I can just read it to you anyway. Look, man, there's real trouble coming, and I'm doing my best to persuade you to stay out of it. But you don't have to listen to me. I'm trying to show you from the Holy Bible. Matter of fact, I'd prefer you not listen to me. I'd prefer you take God's word for it. When He tells you He's going to make a consuming fire and an end to all who live on the earth, you can trust He's going to do that. It's going to be real, and people are going to have suffering, pain, and anguish. Why do you think in the parable it says the guy's tongue stuck to the roof of his mouth? It was from terror. God is going to bring terror to those who have terrorized His people. And it's not going to be pretty. Gather together. Gather together, O shameful nation. That's us. That's the United States. We're the shameful nation. Because we're descended from Israel, but we live like heathens. It's okay for the people in the country of India to live like heathens. They were given over to it. It's okay for the Muslims to live like heathens. They were given over to it. We are supposed to live like the Jewish people. We weren't given over to depravity. We were given over to God's laws. We're the shameful nation because we refuse Him all the time. As He says in Isaiah, you hold out your hands to me all day long like you were a people that wanted to know their God. But you've rejected my law. Before the appointed time arrives and that day sweeps on like chaff, before the fierce anger of Yahweh comes upon you, before the day of Yahweh's wrath, seek Yahweh, all you humble of the land, you who do what He commands. Are you doing what He commands? He's commanded you to be at church next Tuesday. Are you going to be there? If you're the humble in the land and you seek His face and you want Him, if you're the humble of the land and you do what He commands, then I will expect to see you in church. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. Perhaps you will be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. I don't know about you, but I want to be sheltered that day. I want to be sheltered that day. It's not a play day. It's a real day to get real with God. It's a standing appointment with God the Father. Man, I'm not missing any of those. Look, I spend a lot of time trying to get in the presence of God outside of Sabbaths and holy days. It's not always so easy. My mind is not always so totally focused. I've got things to do and things to think about and this is going on and that's going on and phone calls and emails and... But you know, on these days, I can turn all that mess off. And it's just time to get with my God. Because I don't want nothing else but that. Well, you know, a little time with Elise wouldn't hurt, but you know... I don't want nothing but my God. That's what I want. That's what I live for. When I was on my face and I could feel the overwhelming power of God, I was telling Him, Lord, I love You so much. I live for this time with You. How do you turn down a whole day like that? How do you turn down a day when He's going to stop what He's doing and pour the holy fire into that day? How do you miss that? I don't understand. You know, when I wasn't Holy Spirit baptized, I could kind of understand if you don't have the knowledge and you don't necessarily want the teaching, you know, you go on. But now that I'm Holy Ghost baptized, and it's like God is going to pour out so much of His fire and His Spirit and His presence in that day, how do you miss that? As much as we want it all the rest of the time, as much as it means to us to go to church and feel the touch of God and to know that He is good, especially after Coleman's vision. Come on, y'all. Y'all all heard Coleman tell about his vision. He even talked about it last week in church. When you know God is pouring the fire out because Coleman saw it from the wheels, within the wheels in the heavenlies, how do you miss trumpets? I don't know. I won't be finding out. Ezekiel. Chapter 7. I got to speed up. I didn't get through all of it last time either. I'm not going to be able to finish this. Verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, this is what the sovereign Lord says to the land of Israel. The end. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. The end is now upon you, and I will unleash my anger against you. I will judge you according to your conduct and repay you for your detestable practices. I will not look on you with pity or spare you. I will surely repay you for your conduct and the detestable practices among you. Then you'll know that I'm Yahweh. This is what the sovereign Yahweh says. Disaster. An unheard of disaster is coming. The end has come. The end has come. It has roused itself against you. It has come. Doom has come upon all who dwell in the land. The time has come. The day is near. There is panic, not joy, upon the mountains. I'm about to pour out my wrath on you and spend my anger against you. I will judge you according to your conduct and repay you for all your detestable practices. I will not look on you with pity or spare you, and I will repay you according to your conduct and the detestable practices among you. What's detestable? The things God says are detestable. If God says eating pork flesh is detestable, it's detestable. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't care for it all that much when I ate it. Think about it. I mean, it's not like your favorite thing. I just can't wait to go and get some of that. Boy, yeah, you know. My favorite thing was when Dad broke the steaks out. Come on, y'all. I mean, let's get real. I mean, hey, was it the day Mom cooked the ham or the day Dad put the porterhouse on there? Come on. Hey, we all love that porterhouse. When we do the things God says are an abomination, and I'm not going to get into all of them today. I don't have time. We do it all the time in here. When we are living the ways God says, this is an abomination to me. You know, I actually saw on Fox News a young man at a gay pride day in San Francisco carry a sign that says, sodomy rocks. And that's been a year ago now, okay? There are detestable things going on in this country. Now, I listed pork because you can go to Isaiah and it says, God detests that. People who eat swine's flesh. He detests that. This is the same word he's using in Ezekiel. Detestable things. We do detestable things in this country all the time. There's a day coming when God says, enough is enough. I'm wiping you out. Then you'll know I'm God because I've told you not to do this and you've been getting away with it and thinking it's okay, I'm not real. Well, guess what? He's real. And there's a day coming that's an end. And you know when it starts? The day you're rescued out of here, baby. The day you're rescued out of here, the end has come, and the United States is history, and all of your friends and all of your family that don't make it out are going to face living hell on planet Earth in these United States. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be pleasant. And you know what? When you're standing there in front of Yeshua, He's going to ask you, did you warn them? Look, you know how you read your Bible sometimes? You pray God, need a word from you, and you crack it open. You know what I cracked open to this week? Ezekiel, the watchman. Ezekiel, the watchman. 33. The watchman. He set you as a watchman to the people you know. Have you told them? Your blood will be on their blood will be on your hands if you haven't. Now if you tell them and they blow you off, which a lot of times they do, then you're free. You're free. But this is coming. The day of trumpets is all about this that's coming. You know, look, I've seen and heard a lot of things. Why people don't want to obey God. Why they, you know, I love that. You go to Pentecostal revival and they say, oh brother, obey the Lord. And it's all I can do to say, because obviously I'm thinking, when are you going to start? right? I'm obeying the Lord. Now look, I have a real sin list. I have problems and issues in my life. But I don't miss Sabbath. I don't miss holy days. I don't miss tithing. I don't miss the dietary laws. Why? Because God said that's how you be holy before Him. That's how God is looking at you to distinguish your life and what's going on and whether He's going to... Look, He's making His list and checking it twice or you want it. This is the stuff He's checking. Now, obviously, I know Sabbath keepers who have a real problem with lying. Okay? They're not going to be tested over Shabbat because they're doing Shabbat. They're going to be tested over lying. Okay? I don't think we have any liars in here that I know of. So what are we going to be tested on? You know, the test commandment is your favorite one to break. The test commandments, look, I know Sabbath keepers that steal. They don't miss a Sabbath, but they don't mind the five-finger discount. Their test commandment is thou shalt not steal. What's your test commandment? What's the one you like to break? What's the one you like to, I don't have to worry about that. Well, guess what? He said you do. I don't know about you. I got my share of justification. They're saying, oh, well, you know, the Lord will let me slide. No, He's not going to let me slide either. Huh? I got a real sin list that I'm working on that Lanise cannot know where it is. There's real stuff on it, and I really did it. Okay? You know, I was thinking about this earlier. You know, so many pastors don't let you see their humanity. And I will not hide my humanity, but I hate for people to see it because that's usually when they quit listening. If you're listening to me because you think I'm not human and that I'm living this perfect life, you missed the point. Jesus lived the perfect life. You're doing it for Him. You don't come to church and serve because you want to make Bill happy or you want to serve Bill. You do it because you want to make Jesus happy. You want to serve Him. It ain't about Bill. Bill's a human being like you are. He puts his pants on one leg at a time like you do. He gets mad just like you do. He gets sad just like you do. He gets happy like maybe you do or maybe you don't. He goes through all the same mess in his life and maybe a little more because as pastor, I go through spiritual warfare 24/7, stuff I don't like. Like going on all the time. But you know what? There's one thing you can be like me in. I ain't giving up. I'm pulling through. I'm not going to stop living this way of life. I'm not going to stop pushing through. I'm not going to stop teaching the truth. I'm not going to give in on those things I got to stay strong on. I'm going to keep on keeping on. And that you can be like me in. But everything else you need to be like Jesus. Revelation chapter 8. Always kind of disheartens me a little bit when people see my humanity and then never want to have anything else to do with Hungry Hearts ever again after that. You know, I got news for everybody. Those other pastors you listen to, they're just as human as I am and they got just as many problems as I do. They're hiding them from you because of the reasons I just said. I'm not going to hide my humanity from you because I don't want you looking at me. I want you looking at Jesus. I don't want you doing this for me. I want you doing it for Him. When you come to Sabbath, it's not because Pastor Bill read you the riot act in church. It's because you know that's your standing appointment with God. He's pouring out Holy Spirit fire and you want some of that. And you don't come to trumpets because of Pastor Bill up here telling you from the Bible why you're it's going to be bad for you if you don't. I want you coming to trumpets because you saw in the Bible that it's important to God and He wants you there because He loves you. And He's going to spank you if you don't come. See, we can get away from that. Justice will not be put off. God is a just God and He has to be that way. So when we don't do right, we're going to get a spanking. There's no way out of it. Look at David. David committed an awful sin with Bathsheba. David begged for forgiveness and he was forgiven. He begged God not to have the Holy Spirit taken away from him and it was not taken. But the punishment, the spanking continued on through his life and into his son's life. Come on. Revelation chapter 8, verse 6. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. And from here through chapter 9 and verse 21, you get the seven angels blowing the seven trumpets and the wrath of Almighty God being poured on earth. You know, I've read that stuff. How many of y'all have read it outside of here? I used to come home when I was a teenager, 17 years old, totally inebriated. Did a lot of drugs in my past. Try reading that when you're really wiped out. Try reading that when you're really, really high. Mountains coming into the ocean and burning up a third. I mean, you can literally see it happening. Put the fear of God in you for real. I can tell you that right now. Maybe more of us need to read this with real eyes and not fake eyes. We need to read it with real eyes, knowing that this is actually going to happen. Instead of with, well, that's a metaphor and God, no. When he says wormwood is falling in the ocean and a third of the fish die, he means wormwood is falling in the ocean and a third of the fish die. When he says the sun is going to be kicked up 10 times hotter, that's not global warming. Come on, y'all. That's not you ran your SUV and it's getting hotter. No. God is going to kick the sun up 10 times hotter. Look, God doesn't need your SUV to make the sun hot. He just says, kick it up, son, and the sun will kick up. It's going to burn the flesh off people, and they're going to curse God to their face. Why? Because they're not serving Him now. They're not serving Him now. Look at all the stuff that came out about Sarah Palin. I actually heard people on TV making fun of folks that actually believe in God. And that was on Fox. That was on Fox. I heard liberal commentators saying, I don't know if we can trust somebody to be president of the United States who actually believes God talks to them. Then there was a whole segment of the show on tongues. And how anybody that believed that the Holy Spirit could come on you and you would speak in other languages has to be a little out there. God's going to blow, have these angels blow these trumpets, and He's going to pour this wrath out on planet Earth. I can say with confidence you won't be there, because I don't think any of y'all will take the mark of the beast if you miss the rescue. This is bad stuff. These evildoers who harass you are not going to get off light. God is going to punish them. And He says they will drink the cup of His wrath to the dregs at the bottom of the cup, and they will finish it. And they will not be allowed to die in these plagues until they've drinking every last drop of His wrath to the bitter end. That's hard stuff, y'all. It doesn't make for nice preaching. That doesn't make for a nice uplifting service. But I'm telling you what, that everything ever done against you is going to be exacted by Almighty God. He's not taking the way you've been treated at all. And the people who've done this to you are going to pay to the last penny. God is a God of justice, and He is going to avenge you. He says, justice is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. And this chapter and a half is His repayment for everything ever done wrong to you in your whole life. Come on. I don't have time to read them all because there's so much in here. But the first angel sounded, there came hail and fire mixed with blood, verse 7, and it was hurled upon the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees and the grass. And the second angel sounded a trumpet, and a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea, and the sea turned to blood. And on and on and on. But I want to take you to Revelation 19, because we are out of time, and I do want to close. Revelation 19. Because of everything we've talked about here, this is the most important for this day. Verse 11, chapter 19 of Revelation. Jesus is going to return on the Day of Trumpets. I can say that quite characteristically. He's going to return on a Rosh Hashanah in some year. And I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. Look, we always talk about the Lamb of God. The Lamb has been here. The Lion's on the way. We always talk about a Savior who died for his sins. He's coming back to kill the people on planet Earth for afflicting you and for living wrong. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven are following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. That's you. Because fine linen, white and clean, stands for the righteous acts of the saints. If you look a little further back in the chapter, that's you on white horses with him coming back to rule and reign. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. Jesus is the one. Look, He died on the cross for your sins, but for the folks that refuse Him, they'd rather go to what they call hell. I'm telling you right now, because He treads the winepress of the fury of God's wrath, and He's going to make them drink it down to the last dregs. And I can tell you what, when He's done with that, everybody will say, yes, sir, when He calls. Nobody's going to say, I don't know if I want to do it that way. Believe me, after the seven trumpets are blown, everybody on planet Earth that's alive and left to see Him come back will be happy to do it any way He tells them. There'll be no more back talk. Yes, sir, we'll make it happen any way you want. All opposition put down. On His robe and on His thigh, He has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, come, gather together for the great supper of gods, that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and mighty men, and of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies